Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks. Sitting next to me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
Today, we're going to deviate from the norm. Normally, Jonathan and I meet to talk about what we're going to do for our podcasting before we sit down at the microphone. But this time, someone else threw us a suggestion, and we thought we'd answer the question.
Yeah. Listener Jake Suffian wrote in and asked a question that we thought was a good one, so we decided to tackle it. And he wrote, I'm always wary about leaving too many applications open at a time. I've heard that it's better to close them than to keep the speed of my computer up. But if I do keep them open, is this at all bad in quotations, for the computer in the long run? So we thought we'd hit this because a lot of people are curious, you know, what is it that makes their computer slow? You know, a lot of people do have a lot of applications open at a time. At CES during the keynote, one of the executives from Microsoft said that while designing Windows 7, they did it with one particular thing in mind, which is that the average user has between 5 and 15 windows open at a time.
And is that Windows or applications?
That would be Windows. So you might have two different, say, Internet Explorer windows open at a time and multiple tabs within each window. So
right.
it's 5 to 15 instances of applications, I guess you could say.
Okay.
But you figure that's an average. That means there are outliers. So there are people who have a lot more applications open than that, and there are people who may only do one at a time. So is this bad for your computer? Do you want to give the short answer?
No.
There you go. So for those of you who want to listen in on the rest of it, let's take a little journey here. The short answer is that having lots of applications open is not really bad for your computer. Not on its own. Now there are complications that can arise and things that can make your computer run more slowly, but it's not going to hurt your computer. Not permanently anyway. So part of the reason of that is that, you know, you may run a lot of applications. You notice that your memory usage is starting to suffer because of it. It's using a lot of your computer's memory. Each application you open requires computer memory to run.
And you may not necessarily, sorry to interrupt,
no,
may
go
not
ahead.
Necessarily look to see. I mean, you may not be needing to hit Control-Alt-Delete and check exactly how much, you know, the processes tab and see how much memory each application is using. You could tell us sort of intuitively because you'll be able to notice that the other applications are running much more slowly.
Right.
And you're going to go, okay, something's up.
And some applications are more guilty of hogging memory than others. For example, antivirus software is that's a huge drain on memory. Now, it's also something that we recommend you use because viruses will cause way more harm to your computer than running a lot of applications at once. But while you run antivirus software, keep in mind that's going to require a lot of your computer's resources. And don't use more than one because if you do, that's going to double that demand on your computer's resources, and multiple versions of or different versions of the same kind of software like antivirus software or even anti-spyware software, they don't always play well with each other.
No,
yeah.
They don't.
They can cause your computer to crash. They can just cause everything to freeze over and over. It's good to pick a good antivirus, a good anti-spyware software package, and stick with it. Don't sit there and think, hey, more is better, because it's not.
There are a lot of things that affect your computer's memory. Obviously, the physical amount of RAM you have in there. And there are other things, too. I mean, you can max out the RAM that goes inside your computer, but, you know, you have other things going on. You have your processor's clock speed. Your computer may be trying to handle things that simply weren't designed for it. For example, I have an older PC that I use at home simply for server purposes and to run the occasional application that only runs on Windows. Well, you know, if I have a 500 megahertz Pentium 4 processor and I'm trying to run the latest gaming software on it, that's gonna, you know, it may barely run, but it's going to take a lot more performance out of the machine because it's going to max out everything that's running on there. So I may have the RAM maxed out and I may have the processor, you know, using as many cycles as it can handle, but it's going to run slowly and it's going to appear, you know, to really have problems with it.
Yeah. It kind of chugs in little fits and starts if you don't have the right kind of processor, if it's not powerful enough. That's a good point to bring up, too, with processors. You might think, hey, if I've got a lot of applications opening, my processor's running a lot more frequently. Is that going to burn my processor out? Well, the nice thing about microprocessors is that when the manufacturers make these, they put in a limit on how fast that processor can go. So when you hear about your processor's speed, that's kind of an artificial speed. It's one that they've instituted, they being the manufacturers, so that when you run these programs, it runs at a speed that it's capable of running at for prolonged periods of time without overheating and just breaking down. So as long as your computer's ventilation system or cooling system is working properly, you should be all right. Now, if you're one of those hardcore gamers who likes to overclock a CPU, and by overclock, we mean you break through those limits. You allow the CPU to process at its actual maximum processing speed as opposed to the one that was the limit that was placed on it. Then you run into the chance of overheating your computer or at least overheating your microprocessor, and that can cause hardware failures or crashes, instability, that kind of thing. But if you haven't overclocked your CPU, it should be pretty much taking care of making sure that it's not going to melt down or anything on its own.
If you're something else that I just thought about, if you're running a PC or, well, actually any kind of computer, and you are concerned about the amount of processing power you're using or whether or not you're maxing out your memory and slowing your computer down, consider other things that might be affecting it. Like, do you have a large desktop picture on your desktop?
Yeah.
Are you using any kind of customization software for your icons or your cursor or anything like that? I mean, those things are just little things that you might have installed and you think, oh, well, you know, it's just my cursor. Well, your computer's trying to render that, you know, fancy customization software. And that kind of thing, those are little things that you can cut back on if you are worried about whether or not your computer is being overtaxed. And that might help you, you know, cut back on some of the excess processor cycles too.
Right, right. Yeah.
And it's just little stuff.
Yeah. And in the same vein, if you put a lot of programs on your desktop or files or whatever so that you can access them from your desktop, each time you do that, that's another file that your computer has to be able to process and handle every time you boot up your computer. So if you're one of those people who has a desktop that just is covered with files and you're wondering why your computer is taking so long to boot up, that may be a contributing factor. So for those of us who like to keep an uncluttered desktop, we actually have faster boot times in general. Assuming nothing else is wrong with our computers, of course.
And, you know, anything else that you might have installed in the background, if you're a Windows user, you might see this stuff in the system tray. You know, some of this stuff you open and it loads and you think, well, I don't have it running because you don't see it in the taskbar. Well, you know, some of that stuff is still running in the background. And, as I said before, if you hit, Control-Delete, you can look and see what those other processes are. And you might be surprised, how much stuff is actually technically running on your computer, even though it doesn't appear, you know, in that bar.
Right. Yeah. And that can definitely affect your computer's performance as well. And we should also mention that there are certain programs, particularly web browsers, that have had problems traditionally with memory leaks. And by that, what we mean is, let's say you have an older version of Firefox, so Firefox 2 or older, and you open up several tabs in Firefox. Each tab you're opening is putting another kind of a drain on your computer's memory. Mm-hmm. And if you have a lot of those tabs open, it puts more of a drain. Well, with Firefox, one of the problems was that even when you closed out individual tabs, so let's say you've got 20 tabs open in your browser, and you start to close them out, the leak would still be there. The drain on your computer's memory would still be there. So even though you'd be quitting out of all these individual tabs, as a whole, the browser is still putting a big demand on your computer. Mm-hmm. So the later browsers have pretty much kind of worked this out, so it doesn't do that quite so dramatically as it used to. But that's another thing to keep in mind. Like, the only way you could really take care of that Firefox problem was to quit out of your browser completely and then open it again, and then that would pretty much reset the memory usage. But yeah, it'd be odd because you're like, I only have one tab open, and it's not even on a flash-based site. There's nothing that it should be, you know, it shouldn't be pulling this much memory, and then yet you would look in your task manager, and there it was. So, fortunately, like I said, a lot of the later ones have addressed this problem, but that's another possible issue if your computer is going very slowly.
Yeah, but to go back to the question at hand, it doesn't really hurt your computer to have all this stuff running. It's just slowing you down. And of course, you know, if you overtax your computer and you've got a big project open and you haven't saved it in a while and something crashes, well, you know, you may regret having all that extra stuff open.
Yeah. So there are reasons to kind of limit the number of applications you have open. Mainly, the more you have, the more Windows has to, assuming you're using a PC, any operating system has to do this, but most people tend to use Windows. So the more applications you have open, the more Windows has to make sure that everything's playing nicely with each other. And not all programs do that because, you know, it's hard to plan for every contingency. So sometimes programs just don't work very well when other programs are running at the same time. So every time you're opening up an application, you need to remember, okay, well, there's the chance that this could cause my system to crash. You know, it's not a big chance. It's not huge, but it is a possibility. And before we finish, I guess we should also quickly talk about the registry file, Registry.
The registry.
So you may have seen errors that were registry errors. You might wonder what that is. Well, the registry file is like a database. It is Windows' way of keeping track of what applications and settings there are on your computer at any particular time. So every time you add a program or application to your computer, it creates an entry in your registry file. Every time you uninstall, if you uninstall properly, then it removes the entry. But there are problems arise when you do things like, let's say you just delete a file. You don't uninstall the program, but you just, you know, go to the folder and you delete it manually.
Right.
it may not be reflected in your registry file. And then when Windows starts loading things up and it starts looking for this program that no longer is there, but it according to the registry, it should be there, that's where you start having registry errors. So a lot of this is preventable. I mean, you just have to make sure that you are installing and removing applications in ways that Windows is aware, you know, of what you're doing. So you're either uninstalling or you're going to the add remove programs in your Windows manager. And that's the best way to take care of these issues. And of course, the other big point I guess I should make is be smart when you're on the web.
Oh, yeah.
Because malware, like viruses, trojans, spyware, that kind of stuff, that can slow your computer down as well.
And you're certainly not going to see that in your taskbar.
No. Not if they know what they're doing.
Virus? What is that?
Little skull with crosses on the eyes. I wonder if that's bad. So, just be careful where you go on the web, because that, you know, you could easily download some malware and that could seriously slow down your computer. But as for the applications, go to town, have fun. Just remember it can make your computer unstable, but it does not actually hurt your machine.
At least not in the long run.
No, not in the long run. You can pretty much anything you do, as long as it's not like malware, it's not going to cause your computer irreparable harm. You may get to a point where everything's so frozen that you have to go to an earlier backup. So this is a good time to remind you to back up your system. But you're never going to get to a point where that is what's going to cause your computer to melt down. At least not as far as I know. There may be something out there where I had the perfect storm and now the inside of my computer is goo. But it would be news to me.
Your mileage may vary. Some restrictions apply.
Exactly. Well, that pretty much wraps our discussion up. Thank you very much, Jake, for writing in. And everyone out there, I mean, if you have questions, please feel free. Podcast@howstuffworks.com. We are happy to answer your questions. We love getting that mail, especially when it's complimentary. and for those of you who are wondering, I do blush. So thank you very much. And if you want to learn more about all things computer and tech related, visit howstuffworks.com, and we'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.